Well, Father, I surely do thank you for all that came out tonight. I thank you, Father God, that you are so gracious to us. And those that came out to sit at your table, Father, feed them fresh manna from heaven. Let them leave here tonight with something new in your spirit, man, that will help them grow in you. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to say we're going to listen on the video first thing this evening. Got a little video thing going here. And Brother Chris Lynch sent it to me, and it just really ministered to me. And so I thought, well, it could minister to you all too. Now, you have to listen very carefully to this young lady because she's funny and she talks really fast. So be intent, have your ears open, and listen carefully to what she's saying, because what she's saying is a mouthful, and it's something that we really need to hear. I also want to say that I'm sorry that I canceled the revival in its fullness, because I don't feel like it's revival at all. I messed up. We were sick, and I was told the weather was going to take us out, and so I canceled the revival, and I won't ever do that again. You can get a shovel and shovel your way here or stay home. And if we're sick, we'll just get our little barf buckets and bring them with us. Amen. But if we ever have revival, no, we are going to have revival again, and we won't ever stop another revival, because this broken and spilled out was to get us to the place we should be with God. And I personally messed up because I'm the one that made the final decision. Even though I had feedback, I made the final decision, so I want to apologize for that. But Aaron and Adam's mother drove from Virginia just to be here for this revival, so I said, God, please let her be blessed today anyhow. And if she's here Wednesday, but we will take the sign down after tonight, because this revival has ended. Even though the revival stays on, there is a revival atmosphere, this revival has ended, and we aren't going to act like it isn't. So we're going to get ready now, and remember what I said, listen carefully. Don't be talking to your neighbor, because she is funny, and she talks very fast. What she said is very serious, and we really need to hear it. Go ahead, Nancy.
Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. My guest says the kingdom of God is voice activated. She also says the kingdom of darkness is voice activated. She also says that she can teach you how to manifest the promises from God's word every time. Interested? I absolutely love the gifts within this woman. She is a rapping, rhyming prophet. I mean, she really is. But you have seen what's coming in the near future. Paint me a picture.
There's a difference between a mercy drop and a tsunami. And we have known a mercy drop of God's grace and favor and power. And now we are people that have been filled with divine discontentment. God's put that on. They never loved God more, but where we are, we know we must go beyond where we are. And when you begin to know that, God opens revelation, not information. See, information without revelation produces imitation and always produces stagnation. But revelation, which cannot be earned or learned, is given by the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life. Our identity is that it is no longer I, but it is Christ. So you can put all the Bishop Wonderful and Dr. Marvelous and all of these wonderful things like that. But the reality is that God is not coming for a visitation, but a habitation. He's coming. And in a day, a nation will be born. Let me tell you, this is so good. I was given this teaching, and this lady came up. She says, I'm bound by drugs, alcohol, wrong relationship. I just don't know what to do. And I was in the process of leaving quickly, and I just handed her a CD. She called me 2 days later, and she says, oh, she says, I've got to tell you what happened. She said, you gave me that CD, and I went home, and she said, the power of God came upon me. And she said, I've not wanted any drugs. I've not wanted anything. I'm completely delivered. Jesus, fill me. I'm praying in tongues. I said, what CD was that? She said, oh, I don't have a CD player. I just laid it on my stomach. So now, there's so many amazing
things. I thought the kingdom was sound activated. That's ridiculous.
Well, we have to take off the limitations. There's a limitless God, and that we think, oh, well, God can't do this or God can't do that. God can do anything. His will is always creative, and His word activates the creative will of God.
You learned about the voice when your own mother started prophesying the most ridiculous thing to you.
It was awful. My husband's desires in life was to make millions of dollars, and mine was to spend his money. We had this wonderful thing worked out, and my mother was more Baptist than Schofield. And she'd run around and she'd say, we're Baptist born and Baptist bred. We die, we'd be Baptist dead. And we lived right down the street from the Baptist church and went to church 8 days a week. We probably would have sinned, but we were too tired. Mother would say, now, honey, you got to know, if God sends you a preacher, women don't have a place in the church. They can cook, they can clean, they can be supported. You can sing in the choir. So learn to sing and play the piano, and that's the way God will use you. Well, that was mother. She was so full of tradition. I mean, she believed it. It escaped me. But it's that in the midst of this, I come by and she says, oh, I've had a vision from God. And I said, you have? And she said, yes, I see you preaching. I said, you have been in the sun too long. I'm telling you, that ain't never going to happen. I mean, Leroy don't want the ball. So she says, no, I see you and George talking to thousands of people and this and this and this. I said, Mama, you don't even believe in women preachers. How could God give you a vision about that? You don't even believe that. So our traditions make the word of God to no effect, but God will go over your traditions. There are things we're sincere about, we're just sincerely wrong. So so when she kept confessing to me the word over, every time she'd see me, there's Mama's little preacher girl. And I said, Mom, you got to quit that. Now, because what happens, she was activating the word of God with her mouth. And of course, a few months later, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I am telling you, I got so ignited, excited, and delighted, I was activated, ratified, and prophesied. I mean,
I chose her like to rap with Ronnie.
My mama said, honey, I overprayed.
Yeah, you know, I want you to give me the short version of how you saved your daughter's life by activating the word of God. And the thing that struck me the most outstanding, astounding thing is the plan of the devil. All your daughter did, and she even confessed it to you as a young girl, is she smoked a joint of marijuana. Mm-hmm. And it was a doorway.
It opened a tragic door for her. It was 27 years. We had a home from our church of young women bound by drugs, alcohol, and wrong relationships. And she went over there to see the girls. And one of the girls offered her a cigarette, a marijuana cigarette. She took it. She came home and she was crying. She said, Mama did a terrible thing. We prayed. And I had no thought or idea of discernment that could, you know, marijuana, you know. And I said, honey, don't ever do that again. And she says, I won't. But there are some people, their body chemistry or whatever you want to call it, they just cannot do the drinking and all of these things. It's evil mm-hmm. and wicked. And it opened a door, and it led her into 27 years. She became a heroin addict. She was in prison. I could go on. Her rap sheet was over 42 pages. Mm-hmm. And this is what God told me. He says, all of your children are disciples taught of the Lord, and great is their peace and undisturbed composure. And do not be moved by facts, but you move those facts with the word of God. You agree with God. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, if you believe and not doubt, you can have what you say. So it's not what I pray, it's what I say. So when I would hear from her every now and then, and she would say, I'm here, I'm there, the story is an incredible, should be a movie. It should be a movie. Her story is incredible. But after 27 years, she had an encounter where she took an overdose of heroin, and she was legally dead. They had her on life support for 72 hours. They said her brain was completely wasted and that she would never do this and never do that. She came out of that. She went to prison, and while she was in prison, she had a conversion, and she went through a rehab program, came out, and today she is the director of the largest facility in Southern California for restoration of people bound by drugs.
You know what? You have a gift to convince people to believe God.
Believe
you
it,
are
believe
sincere.
It.
We're going to be right back because there are many of you that have prayed and prayed and now you've given up and you literally have lost your hope. It's about to change. Be right back. Clarice, what does it mean to see things from God's perspective?
Well, that means you must ascend on wings of worship and praise, be seated in heavenly places, and choosing to agree with God. You must know in the depths of your heart, in your knower, that you are a born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, devil-chasing, anointed, appointed individual standing in the stead of Christ to execute the judgments of God that have already been written.
That's a mouthful. I don't even think it came up for air. What can someone do that is stuck? Their prayers, they prayed for their family's salvation, nothing. They prayed for some health conditions, nothing. They know God's word. How do we get unstuck?
Well, first of all, we have to understand you have a great big God and a little bitty devil. And the only thing that works on him is his lying mouth. So we have got to understand who we are, that our life is hidden in Christ. So when these circumstances and situations that are not in agreement with the holy word of God, then you recognize it for what it is. Then you send an army of words. It's just an army of words that rise up and you say, devil, you are old and ugly. You're defeated. You'll never know the love of God. You've lost your glorified body. And for every second you oppress me, I claim the soul for the kingdom of God. Then you begin to say,
you know
I am
what?
Healed.
You know what? The devil could not take that kind of heat.
Just beat him up. Just don't let him leave. Say, I'm not through with you yet.
Now, I read somewhere someone said, aren't you afraid of saying that? He may come after you.
Well, he can't find me. See, I'm hidden in Christ. If he knew where I was, he'd get me.
Now, you say everything in God's kingdom is voice activated, and it has a lot to do with the frequency of our voice. Explain.
All right. Well, everything is moving. We look like we're stable, but everything has got a vibration. Everything has got a frequency. Every now and then, you're going to meet someone, and they're going to say something profound like, hi there, how are you? And you're going to feel something come to it. I like that person. There's something about their voice. There's something about their gestures. And that you begin to recognize your tribe. That's a frequency that begins to take place. The biggest problem, from my perspective, that people have in understanding that we're trying to do something rather than be something. If I be the righteousness of Christ, then I'm as righteous as God. If I know that, I operate from a revelation, not an information of a finished work. So I don't beg and plead and call that intercede. I open my mouth and let the seed enter into the ever-present now and begin to understand that the prophetic voice of God can landscape the soil of the souls of people that have endured great praise.
How do you handle it when you go to a doctor and a doctor says, you got 6 months to live? What would you do?
Well, it's just really interesting. We were in the airport just the other day, and there was a man that was sitting with a dog. It was a big service dog. And he didn't look too happy, and I just smiled over him. So I said to the man, how are you today? Does your dog bite? And he says, He might.
So,
that's not what I would expect.
and I said, what's his name? He says, Murphy. And I said, Hi, Murphy. Well, frequency. Murphy knew. I love dogs. I just love them. God did good when he made a dog. I've got two dogs. One's named Money and the other's named Debt Free. I mean.
She's not kidding.
Not kidding. And he says, Murphy's going to get a new home in 2 weeks. And I said, well, you love him so much. Why are you going to give him away? He says, because I'm going to die in 2 weeks. So I go over to where he's sitting. I sit down next to him and I said, hey show it to me. He said, what? And I said, that expiration date. Where's it written on you? How do you... He said, well, the doctor said, and I said, Doctor who? I said, that's Dr. Mann. All he knows is what he sees. Thank God for him. But anyway, I said, here, I've got something for you. And I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for you. I have an anointed cloth that I've held in my hands. I take it around and I'm put it on there. And he says, I have brain cancer. And I said, and I have God. You know, it's just... The big C is not cancer, it's Christ. Anyway, I had the opportunity to pray for him, and he was a born-again, spirit-filled man that had just made a decision to agree with a bad decision. And we are people making choices. God will not violate your free will. If you want to be oppressed, suppressed, repressed, depressed, or possessed, you certainly can.
You know, you really, not only do you rhyme, what you say is so profound.
For I have instance, to say it so fast.
Listen to this. I have to write it down. God's not asking you to become something you're not. He's asking you to become who you already are. When we come back, I want you to answer.
Great.
I really like some of your writing here. Your life was over before it began. God's not asking you to become something you're not. He's asking you to become who you already are. Now, unpack that.
Now, if I'm going to unpack it in 4 or 5 minutes, you have to understand from God's perspective.
Yes, but there's no time in eternity. You just told me.
Shonda. the God is a God of now. Everything is now. Present tense. So say, out of every river has a mouth. Out of my belly flows rivers. Rivers of love, life, joy, peace, healing, deliverance. Rivers, rivers, rivers. And every drop, every word that I'm speaking is saying, I must become a part of something greater than me. I must become which I already am. Because from God's perspective, it was over before it began. He always starts at the end. So if anybody asks you what comes first, the chicken or the egg, if you're talking about God, it's always a chicken. Because he always starts with things finished. And when you understand that, you begin to think with that, then past and present have collided into the ever-present now, so you do not think about someday God's going to do this, and yesterday God did that, so I'm not left with anything here. I'm just muddling around. No, now is the time. Never has there been a day like this. This is the day the Lord has made. And we will begin to decree, proclaim, establish, and begin to speak. And right now, I want to tell you, there's someone that is listening here, and you have an abscessed ear, and in the authority of the name of Jesus, I open your ears with the infallible and inerrant awesome word of God. Those that have cancer nodules on your throat, I bind that in Jesus' name. A collapsed vocal cord. In the name of Jesus, I command you, wake up, wake up, wake up, and proclaim the glory of God. I speak to those that are bound by drugs and alcohol and wrong relationship. Be delivered in the authority of the name of Jesus. May the angels of the Lord pursue you, devil, on a dark and slippery path. A hole you've dug for them, I put you into it. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for power.
Now, there are people that are watching right now, and you feel hopeless. Everything is closing in on you. If that were you, what would you do right this minute if you were that person?
If I was that person, I would make a decision to agree with God as quickly as you can. You can say, you can look at the symptoms, you can look at the circumstances, they are facts. Facts and truth are not the same thing. And as soon as we realize it is Satan, the accuser of the brethren, but he can only have the power that you give him. All power in heaven and earth, dunamis and exousia, has been, past tense, given. All there is. I asked the Lord one time, I need more power in my life. And he says, well, I don't have any more. That one of the greatest things that keeps us from being healed is condemnation, self-hate, low self-esteem, unworthiness, agreeing with the reports of the Adamic nature instead of the new nature. So as we choose to agree with God, Jesus in you is the hope of glory. Christ as you is a manifestation of glory.
What I want you to do is speak the word over that person that's hopeless right now.
Father, in the authority of the name of Jesus, we just thank you that you are a God of the impossible, hope and despair, frustration, hearts that have been made heavy, awful things that have happened. Lord God, we thank you right now that you are the God of the hopeless, hurting people. And with mercy and compassion, we release into the atmosphere the antidote to the Antichrist, which is the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the Word of God. We thank you, Lord God, that the great angels of God, ministering spirits sent forth from God to aid us with the heirs of salvation, take these words and let them be implanted into the heart of the hopeless. Hope deferred that has made your heart sick, I bind and break it in Jesus' name. It's time for you to decide, ha, ha, ha. The joy of the Lord, well, He lives in me. Strengthen yourself with the joy of the Lord.
As believers, we need to become who you already are.
That's right.
Explain that.
Well, from God's perspective, you know, I was praising God. I said, oh, Lord, I just love you. I do crazy praise. You know, I battle with the rattle of a tambourine. I jump around and just I love God. I just love Him. I'm addicted to it. So when I said to the Lord, He said, be transformed through the renewing of your mind, pulling down strongholds and vain imagination. I said, what's a vain imagination? He says, anything apart from my word. It's a luxury you can no longer have. And so I thought, oh, well, be transformed by renewing your mind. When was my mind new? You know, would you tell me about that? If you put R-E in front of it, He said, well, because you came from the heart of God. He said, your DNA is a divine nature attitude, and the whole heart of God was imparted to you, and it's coded into your being. And the more you fellowship the Holy Ghost, you begin to realize you are already who you already are. It's already. We are sons of God. And sometimes we think of, like, I'm a verb, I'm a noun, I'm an adjective, I'm an adverb. And God says, you are epistles being written by the hand of God. So if I'm a noun in the body of Christ and all I do is hang around with nouns, I'll never have a sentence. I'll never be able to express the fullness. So I've got to have diversity. If I'm a noun, I have to find a verb and an adverb and an adjective. And I've got to find some dangling participles and a preposition here and there. And then we put them together. And then our life begins to make sense when together we'll glorify God. And we were created for God's glory. So when we're talking about it was over before it began, I am becoming who I already am. God saw it from the end. And He says, this is what I see. When I look at you, all I see is Jesus. That's what the scripture says, see no man except in Christ. And you create with the fruit of your lips. You begin, I will judge you and I will judge you up. The spiritual man judges everything. So I judge you as a king, as a priest, as a prophet. I judge you as redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. I judge you up. I judge you healed and delivered and prosperous, because that's what salvation is about.
You know what I'm hearing you say? This is what I'm hearing you say. She's actually saying it to you, and I want you to say it to those watching right now. Tell them they're a champion. I like the way you say that.
Listen, champions live differently than normal, average people. You see, champions look at situations and circumstances and say, greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. So I began to choose to agree with God. I said to God, what makes you happy? He says, I'm glad you ask. We become that which we adore. So we are learning how the adoration of God brings us to a place that these are words that come from a champion spirit. We have come before God Almighty. You're kings with crowns upon your head. You're priests that bring the people to God and God to the people. And you're prophets that hear the word of God and declare, change the atmosphere. You may not ever be on this program, but there's something you're on every day. You could be washing dishes. You could be at the office. And all you have to do is open your mouth and say, Kuria basanda de mikisata. And you begin to release the rivers of love and life. And you will change the world. Champions do. Agree with me. Say it with me. All of us. We are champions. Champions. Hallelujah.
Is that it? Well, did you like that? I know you're going to have to listen to that again, right? Just go on YouTube or look up Sid Roth and find that one. Amen. Wasn't she awesome? Are you a champion? Then act like one. Quit walking around like you're defeated. Champions aren't defeated. They are for the glory of the Father. Amen. Didn't I tell you she talked fast? So much love bottled up in one person for Christ. Like she says, she's radically in love with the Father. And when she praises radically. I wish this body of Christ will learn to play praise radically. You don't even raise your hands. Whenever we sing that song, Gracefully Broken, I love that song. And you know, it says, here I am with open arms. No arms are open. You're just sitting there. I remember when I was first born again, every place I went, all you saw was arms in front of you. Smelled armpits. You don't do that anymore. You don't see arms raised to the Father. So that's telling me that the body of Christ has lost intimacy with the Father. Here I am, Lord, arms wide open, gracefully broken, and you're sitting there and probably not even singing it. So you don't know how to praise. Chris Tomlin said, the first sign of true praise is a lifted arm. When you lift your arms to heaven, let the Father know that you know who you're talking to. That's your first sign of true praise. If you watch little Isaiah, you probably think he lost his mind, but he loves the Lord. He's trying to play a guitar on his shirt, trying to get the words out and trying to dance like they do on TV, on the YouTube. He watches singing all the time. But at least he's praising the Lord, whether you think he's crazy or not. He's doing something. And I'm saying, God, just let this thing overflow into the people so that they can learn how to praise the Father. Amen. And I told him, I said, honey, why don't you stand up beside my mom? He put his head down. I said, what's wrong? She just made me sad. You told me to quit praising the Lord. And I didn't say that. I just said, come up here in front of me. And I thought he was going to wander on back there. But I wished you all would get sad because somebody told you to be still. Amen. I played all those fast songs today to try to see what you really did with them. You didn't do anything with them. The dancing song, what the clapping song, sing louder song, you know, king of my soul, sing and shout. Gracefully broken. How many of you truly do allow God to gracefully break you? How many of you are allowing God to break you and spill you out? I just really want you to think about this tonight. I don't know how much longer God's going to wait. I don't know after what he said this morning. I really don't know where people are at. And I'm not even going to try to find out. I have enough trouble trying to keep my own self right? And to do what God's telling me to do. If you choose to sit in the molly grubs, then that's your choice. Like she said, God won't go against your will. If you choose to be downhearted because God hasn't given you what you think he should have given you in your on your time frame, then go ahead and lose out on God. He'll give your mantle to somebody else. He doesn't worry about that kind of stuff. I was telling Sister Nancy Connell today, I said, you know, I've waited 30-some years for God to... Well, no, for 30-some years we had the glory. Then for the last 16 years it's not been here. And I've been waiting for 16 years for God to bring the signs, wonders, and miracles back into the house again. And I'm still working for the Lord. I'm not sitting around feeling sorry for myself. I'm not going out and smoking a cigarette or smoking a joint or getting a beer. You know, I'm not doing none of that. I'm thanking God every day that he knows his perfect timing for everything. And he knows exactly what he's doing. And like she said, he starts with a thing already done. So the revival date, if you know, whenever everything is going to start again, is already here. And even though he's been telling me it's getting ready to pop up again, I'm not going to say, God, why didn't you do it yesterday? You know, he'll do it when he wants to do it. And I'm not going to get excited about it. But it really breaks my heart to come into this church, because this is the only place I go anymore. I don't get a chance to go out on the road and watch you people walk around like you're dead. You know, like you have nothing to have joy about. I was thinking the other day, I bring homeless people into my home, and I thought, you know, God, for about 3 years, I was literally homeless. Even my husband and I, you know, we traveled. He was in the service. Every year we had to be transferred. It takes money to travel. We had a station wagon. Those days, everybody had a station wagon, right? some of you as old as I am, near there. And so what did we do? I made the station wagon the bedroom. You know, and when I took my husband to work, I would go find a tree near the water, park under that tree. We had water. I'd make a little fire and cook over that, our little hamburgers or, I mean, hot dogs that we had. And, you know, we had a good time. And my kids told me about 5 years ago, we never knew we were poor. We just thought we were camping all the time. Because, see, I made it a fun time. I didn't moan and groan about it. But I said, God, I've been homeless. Yeah, because we had to live in a car until we found a home, until we got enough money together again to get a home. And about the time we did that, then we'd be transferred again. And there we were in the car again. So I know what it is to be homeless, but I never realized that till the other day when I was sitting thinking about it. See, you can either make the situation bad or you can make it good. That's all up to you. Are you listening here? In the meantime, my husband was running around with other women. You know? But my kids never knew that we had a problem because we had love in the home. We loved our children. We had love in the car. We loved our children. You know, the car was our home. And we just enjoyed life. Why are you all sitting around not enjoying life just because you don't have? You have a roof over your head. I can tell you're eating because you're fat, right? I can tell you have gas for your vehicles because you're going a lot. So what are you complaining about? I'm sorry, but being born again is not what it should be. Serving God is not what it should be. We're all about money. Remember I told you God said when he told me to quit my job, I had a really good job as I had really good money, and he told me to quit. He said my paycheck would be bigger than the world can write it, and I don't get a paycheck. But I realized that the reason why he said my paycheck that I give you would be bigger than what the world is, the paycheck is souls. It's all about souls. It's not about what you have. That's not material things. It's all about souls. So why do we get so caught up in material things? You know, we really need to think. I'm not saying sell your house and go live in the woods. I didn't say that. I'm saying why cannot we be content in the state that we're in? And I really believe it's because of something she said. She said, out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. I think that was in there somewhere because I wrote notes on that. And I believe that with all my heart that I was going to preach on that anyhow, and then when I read that, then I just took some of her notes too. But I just really believe that we really don't have the true Spirit of God within us, and so nothing can flow out of us. Are you understanding this? If you don't have something in, nothing can come out. And if you're always moaning, groaning, and complaining, then you don't have in you what you need to have in you. And tonight, God, before you leave here, God wants you to have that in you so it can flow out of you, not for your benefit, but for others that he wants to make you come in contact with. All right. Right up front, we need to understand that the living waters that she talked about, or that Jesus is talking about in his word, is the Holy Spirit within us. All right. John 7:37-39 says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Will flow from within them. So it has to be in us. By this he meant, you were talking about Jesus, by this he meant the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. The Holy Spirit was not here when Jesus was here. He came when Jesus left. That's in the Word. Isaiah 44:3 says, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. In other words, I will pour water on him who is thirsty. If you're really thirsty, you'll get intimate with the Father and you'll get before the Father until he pours that water in you. So you need to have so much that it overflows out of you. Just not enough to satisfy you, but enough to overflow onto others. In the video, the young lady said, we have rivers of living water in us, which are love, life, joy, peace, long-suffering, mercy. She said deliverance, and she said a few other things, healing. Now, if we do not have these living waters that Jesus spoke about, we can have none of these rivers flowing. And these things that she said, which is in the Word, we can't have any of those rivers flowing out of us. And we will not be able to minister to others. Living water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is like a fountain of water deep within, which wells up inside us, bringing all the life and refreshment that God alone can give. And this is the very life of God indwelling us as Christians. Every one of you sitting in here tonight, people who don't believe in the Holy Spirit, they don't have any river anywhere. They are dry, parched ground, and they don't have anything to give to anybody. And this is why we need those rivers of living water. I know when God was, you know, all those years, 30-some years that God was pouring out the glory and the giftings were going, he would always have me lay hands on people's stomach and release the fountain of living waters. And every time they received that, and they, you know, and then they were activated in that. And this is what God wants to do tonight. He wants to activate that river of living waters so it can come forth and it can heal the land and not kill it. There's been enough killing in the house of God. One thing I have learned about the Holy Spirit is that I can either invite him to fill and transform my life, or by my perverse and stubborn will, I can suppress, quench, and contradict his gracious work in me. You can either let him come forth, or you can press him down. Your actions will either cause him, because he's a gentleman. He does not push his way into your life. He's there, and if you want him to run your life, he will. But if you don't run your life, if you don't want him to run your life, he'll walk away. He really will. So if you're, don't blame God for anything you're in. You're in the situation and the place you're in because of your stubbornness and your self-will. And that's the truth. God did not place you there. You placed your own self there. Disobedience has a terrible price to pay. We can invite the Holy Spirit to transform us, or we can switch off the flow and the water stops. How many of you that really have the Holy Spirit in you? Sometimes you tell, say, Holy Spirit, I need you to be activated more today than you were yesterday, because yesterday I used you all up. It feels like you used him all up. I just need more of you flowing out of me because I'm not being godly. See, if you have enough of that Holy Spirit in you, you'll always be godly. You won't have to ask God to love others through you, is what I'm saying. You see that? You won't have to cross the street when you see somebody come that you don't like, because the Holy Spirit in you loves everybody. Living water or stagnant water. I can have either living water flowing out of me, or I can have stagnant water that goes nowhere and does nothing for anyone. So I'm asking you tonight, check yourself right now. Do you have living water or do you have stagnant water? Living water is clean, fresh, flowing, and cold. Stagnant water is often polluted, stale, restricted, and warm. So what kind of water do you have? Come on. Think. Get your little cogs going. Think. Is my living water clean, fresh, flowing, and cold? Or is it polluted, stale, restricted, and warm? Isaiah 55:1 says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. God's giftings are free. The Holy Spirit is free. The living waters is free. It doesn't cost you. I don't care how poor you are. You don't have to have any money to receive anything from God. It's all free. It's all free. And I'm going to tell you, if you have the Holy Spirit within you, people will love you. They'll want to give into your bosom because they see and they feel the love of God in you. And they want what you have. That's how I became born again. My girlfriend, who had a foul mouth, but I liked her because she was a nice person, became very quiet and very different. And I said, I want what you have. And she said, and I went to church. Like that lady said, a Baptist, whatever was open, I went. And so she took me to a spirit-filled, born-again meeting. And I was filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, without anybody touching me, without anybody coaching me. The Holy Spirit just landed upon me. And I was different ever since. Are we listening here? You need the living waters bubbling up from inside of you if you're going to do the works that God is calling you to do. You just need that. Don't ever let it run dry. Don't ever let your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your husband, don't ever let anybody steal that from you. Sometimes, you know, the darkness around about you can be so dark you just think you're drowning in that darkness. That's when you need to cry out for help from the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, just fill me to overflowing right now, because the darkness is great and it's taking me under. You know when it's taking you under, don't you? You know when it's there to stop whatever God's trying to do for you. We can have mere physical water, water that satisfies only for a while, or we can have spiritual water, water that endures forever. In John chapter 3, when Jesus met Nicodemus, he said that to be born again or born from above, you have to be born of water, which is baptism, and the Spirit. That's what I loved about every time we baptized somebody, they always went into the Spirit, showed up too, and they got filled with the Spirit of God. You know, if you just get dipped, then you know, that didn't do you any good. Go back somewhere where the Spirit is and get dipped again. Amen? And when you come up, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why I say sometimes I think some of you need to go get re-dipped, because your baptism wore off. Or you didn't get enough of the Spirit or something. Right? John 4, verse 1. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. See, there people were trying to pit John against Jesus, or Jesus against John, however you want to put it. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So you have to know that Jesus never baptized anybody. His disciples did. So Jesus left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God," church, he's talking to you, "if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." See that? "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" Where was it at? Inside of Jesus. Where is Jesus? Inside of us. Where is the living water? Inside of us, because Jesus is in us, right? And then verse 12 says, then the lady says to Jesus, "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water, which is the water from the well, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Now the Samaritan woman thought Jesus was talking about physical flowing water. She did not understand spiritual things, but she did before the day was over. But Jesus was talking about something else entirely. He was speaking about something deep inside of us. A spring of living water that gushes up deep in our hearts and which renews our lives so radically that all our thirst are quenched. In other words, if you want to watch pornography, you won't want to watch pornography full of living water. If you want to smoke a joint, you won't smoke a joint because you'll be full of that living water. If you want to smoke a cigarette, you won't smoke a cigarette because you'll be full of that living water. If you want to cuss, you won't cuss because you'll be full of that living water. And that living water will keep you from all the sin nature that wants to remain within you. See, that living water is what keeps us in balance in God's word. It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he will lead, guide, and direct you. And the reason why he doesn't lead, guide, and direct us and we get in trouble is because we turn him off. We ignore him. And we ignore him by whenever we go to do something, he said, he nudges you and says, don't do that, but you do it anyhow. So he said, okay. And then, you know, you go to do something else, and then he says, don't do that. And you sort of shut him off and you do it anyhow. And he said, well, okay. And then what happens is he doesn't nudge you anymore. He just lets you go ahead and do what you want to do. And you know, when people ask me, you know, does God want me to do this or that or the other? And I'll pray. And if God says no, I'll say no. God doesn't want you to do that. Then they keep saying, well, can I do it now? Can I do it now? Can I do it now? God says, tell them to go ahead and do it. God doesn't want them to do it, but they want to do it. And they're going to keep harassing God until God suggests you can do it. When God wants you to do it, he's going to say, you can do that now. So quit harassing God and asking him if you can do it. He will tell you when you're allowed to do it. That got me in trouble one time. It really did. Really big trouble. I'm telling you, don't do that to God. In Jeremiah 2:13, God laments that his people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. In other words, they forsook God and got their own gods. And those gods couldn't give them any water. They were going to be parched deserts, that nothing would grow there. They wouldn't be any good for God at all. But they chose those instead of the living water, Jesus. What are you choosing tonight? Are you choosing other gods? Are you choosing Jesus? You really need to stop. You know, you're not the only one in the boat. Get out of here. Everybody in here has a testimony. And you'd be surprised how little your testimony is when you hear other people's testimonies. You know, you see people go around there smiling and you're just acting like life's just a bowl of cherries. And you don't know the hell and the degradation they're really living. But they choose to have Jesus service and not the mess that they're living in. You just don't know people who are ministering to you. They're in hell right then and there themselves, but they have chosen to let that hell go to the wayside and they have chosen to let Jesus shine forth. Are you listening here? You know, these things of the world are temporary. They will satisfy for a moment, but after that moment's by, you have messed up royal. And then you have to get out of that mess. And you don't get out of the mess instantly. You get in it quicker than you get out of it. So just go ahead and take your whipping. Go to the woodshed and get it over with God. But don't stay in the woodshed. Get out of the woodshed and move on. You've made a mistake. There isn't one of us in here tonight that has not made a mistake, a drastic mistake. Don't die in your mistake. Move on. Do the things that God's calling you for to do. Rise up above that mess. God's saying rise up above the beggarly elements of this world. And if we go into the third heaven where God has invited us to go, we would not be in the mess we're in tonight. Are you listening? Because when you're in the third heaven, fellowshipping with God there, you're not in this earthly realm. You're not in the second realm where all the fighting is going on. You're in the third heaven where Jesus rules and reigns, and he wants you to come there. He invited this whole church to go there one night. He invited me. He said, daughter, you can come to the seventh heaven. I go to the seventh heaven quite frequently because that's where he invited me to. He invited you all to the third heaven. But some of you didn't go there. I can tell by the way you act. Come on. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Isn't that what they say? And you never fool God. You never fool the Holy Spirit either. Ezekiel 36:25 says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. See that? That's what God wants to do with you. He wants to clean you, cleanse you. He wants to bring you to a new place. I'm hearing a prosperity in him. You, when you hear the word prosperity, it doesn't mean money. It means spiritual. He wants us to grow spiritually. He wants to have our coffers full of spiritual things. But all we think when we hear prosperity, how much money am I going to get? God's kingdom is all about. It's about souls. It's about souls. Tonight, God wants to manifest himself as living waters within you. Not around you, but in you. You know, this morning, I asked Brother Aaron to do the prophesying, and he went, he had to take that deep breath before he started. Then I pointed to somebody else, he went, he wasn't saying he didn't want to do it, but he had to take that deep breath like, God, you have to be with me. God, it has to be you talking through me. And I like that. I always like that when I see somebody do that, because that means they're not full of pride. Well, I can do this thing. And no, you can't. Your flesh can, but no, you can't. And your flesh can say a whole lot of things, but it doesn't say what God wants to say. All right? Everybody in here should be a prophet, because this is a prophetic church. But some of you cannot prophesy right now because your life's not right, and I won't let you. I didn't mean you, Barbara. I looked at you, but I didn't mean you. Believe I didn't. I mean, if you're not, life's not right, you're not going to prophesy, because what you do, you prophesy in part. And you prophesy the message in your life, you prophesy into somebody else's life. And I'm not going to be held accountable for that on Judgment Day. Because I know where I'm at in Christ, and I know what I'm going to be held accountable for. And you know, a teacher is judged more harshly than anybody else in the house of God. So don't be so quick to want to get up here and preach a word. Because your life then is being scrutinized by God. And you better be walking that holy walk. And you better be talking that holy talk. Or you're in deep trouble with God. Are you listening? So I said, tonight God wants to manifest himself as living waters within you. He wants those living waters to pour out of you onto others, so they will never thirst again. Isn't that neat, that lady sitting in the airport? I just shared God, you know, just shared God. You know, what if you was putting gas in your car and somebody drove up, and what if the Holy Spirit could prompt you to just share whatever, you know, you don't do it on your own. The Holy Spirit prompts you to do that. And so you just start talking to the person, tell them whatever God tells you to tell them. Wouldn't that be neat? And their whole life has changed. Their whole life has changed. But if we don't have the living waters in us, it isn't going to be God that's doing the prompting. It's going to be you. This is what I want God to be using me to do, so I'm going to do it. I'm just flat going to do it. I know that I'm a prophet, but I also know there's times in here, like this morning, there was something wrong in here, and God was not anointing me to prophesy. Are you listening to this? So just because I'm the prophet doesn't mean I have to prophesy. No, you have to know your place in Christ. I don't know what was going on in here, but there's something going on here. I believe it's because we had to play that video, and I believe it's because people in here weren't right, and God was sad. He had nothing else to say. He said it all in the video. That's really what I believe it's all about. You just grieved his heart that bad, and he just wasn't moving upon me. Why? You might not have liked what he had to say. You just might not have liked what he had to say, because you know that his words through me are sort of like on a rough side. They're not the sweet little things that Sister Nancy Connell puts out for you. Mine are get it together or get out. Amen. Now's the day, not tomorrow. Are you listening? But please be content in whatever state you're in. Please quit trying to be something you're not. And please let love be your foundation. If you really want a God to broken and spilled out, if you really want a God to break you and spill you out so he could fill you up afresh and anew, then let it be. Let it happen. Don't pretend you wanted that. You know, even though, you know, we don't see, we're going to see great signs, wonders, and miracles. And, you know, she said that God, I'm so glad she made the statement where God gives you that divine dissatisfaction. I think she put it that way. Because, you know, I've been dissatisfied for a long time, and I've said it over the pulpit many times. And I'm tired of, and I said, God, all I do is teach. You've had me be a teacher long enough now. Now, I want the greater, I say I want the greater works. I'm not allowed to ask for what I used to have, which was good. Because he said, what I have before you is greater. So each one of you here, don't want what you had yesterday. Yesterday might have been good, but tomorrow's going to be so much better. Want the greater things. Remember, I told you, God told me I always settle for second best when he wants me to have the very best. Don't settle for tomorrow. Or yes, I'm yesterday. Yesterday wasn't the very best for you. You want the very best that God has from you from this day forward. You no longer want to sit and just be, you know, just be a stump. You want to be all that God's called you forth to be. You want to be that vessel of honor that God can work through. Whenever you go home, I can't even think of your name. Isn't that awful? What's your mother's name? Julie. I keep wanting to call you Joy for some reason. When you go home, Julie, people should look at you and say, what's different about you? See, something should always be different about us. The other day, my kids said, what's different? You are so different. And they said, it wasn't a good way different. I said, you have caused this. But see, we want to be a good difference. It was a good difference. They just didn't like it. They didn't like being told what to do at 39 years old. But we want, every place we go, we want to change the atmosphere. We want to have that rivers of living water flowing out of us constantly, so the atmosphere is constantly. How many of you know people that change the atmosphere for bad? They walk in the room and say, oh my God, hell itself just walked in the room. Darkness, right? All right, now see, now we should be ones, when we walk into a room, we change the atmosphere. Sometimes Johnny will say, my mom's in the kitchen. Well, how do you know? I just feel her. She's out there in the kitchen, and I had just come down into the kitchen. I changed the atmosphere. You understand that? And that you should be changing for the better, not for the worse. So if you have rivers of living waters flowing out of you, you will change the atmosphere for the better. All your family should say, what is different about you? You're not like you were 10 years ago or even 5 years ago or 2 years ago. Debbie, your husband should say, what is wrong with you? Good, I'm glad, because he needs to say that. God showed me a few things. He needs to say that. So how many of you want that living waters flowing out of you tonight? God wants you to come up here because he wants to activate that. He wants to activate those living waters that are deep down inside of you. They're laying dormant. Because if you're born again and you receive the Spirit of God, then you have that river of living waters. And if you have it, you want deeper, just come and say, God, I want an overflow. I want to drown in it. And remember, God told me, I'm going to hold you in the water until you drown. Well, I want to drown in these waters so that I have so much water in me, living water in me, that it'll touch everybody I come in contact with. Amen. Come on. Come on, Carolyn. God's going to use you mightily, and you need all the water you can get. Thank you, Father. Just let him touch you. Somebody get behind that girl there. Yeah. She's going to go down. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Well, Julie, I want you to go back to Virginia, and I want everybody to say, boy, what did she bring with her? She brought the storm clouds of fire with her. She has the overflow in her. Come on, Caitlin, just receive that. Don't stand there and labor. Just receive it. Empty yourself out and tell God, I want living waters flowing out of me. I want to get rid of this stagnant water that doesn't do anything but kill. Come on. It's refreshing time in the body of Christ. God wants to refresh you so that you can refresh others. God said, whatever you give to him tonight, he's going to take, and whatever you hold on to, he's going to let you have. If you want it, you can keep it. If you don't want it, then let him have it.